Triple M Rocks Saturday Arvo Footy. Triple M Rocks the Footy. For Harvey Norman Home Appliances.
In 3, 2, 1. Another week of footy is ready to rock. Hear every minute live here on digital radio and on the Triple M app. For McDonald's, we are Triple M Footy.
And great to have your company again on a Saturday arvo. Coming to you this afternoon live from beautiful Bankstown RSL, your home ground, when the Doggies are out of town, and out of town indeed they are today, taking on the Titans this afternoon. You'll hear that from 3 p.m. Both teams 2-7 looking for a win on this Saturday afternoon. Get down and say good day to Wendell Saylor, to Emma Lawrence, Ryan Girdler. My name is Tony Squires. Welcome to the three of you. An amazing day, obviously. It's a great day. Australians are out as we speak exercising their democratic right voting. I'm going to get to that in a moment. It's the day, of course, that Jack DeBellin realises that his career may in fact be over. We'll find out if that is the case. It's the day that Israel Folau will be contemplating what he'll say at church tomorrow after his $4 million contract was terminated. And, of course, it's the day that we still remember the great Prime Minister Bob Hawke. We're going to speak with Malcolm Turnbull a little later in the show, get his thoughts on Mr. Hawke. Before we get to Bob Hawke, how are we all this afternoon? Wendell, have you exercised your democratic right? Have we all voted? Em, have you been into a polling booth today?
Yeah, look, I will after this. So once we do this show, I'll go and find one. So, yeah.
You go and find one? You want any help locating one?
No, I know how to vote. And obviously I'm 44 now. I'm looking great. And I'll make sure that our country is in good hands.
You're 44 looking great, which is an important thing, apparently, before you go into the voting booth, that you look good. Em, how'd you go? You don't need to tell me who you voted for, by the way.
I was there. Zach told me. Zach made us go. We were there 7:50, so before the polling booths even opened.
That's keen.
We were there ready. We had a coffee. Mm-hmm. Gerds, you said, how'd you go? We had a discussion and it turned into a 30-minute rant of saying that perhaps I don't know enough about politics.
No, I didn't say that. The guy that she voted for is an absolute flog. I have to say he's a nine ball, and I just said to her that I think that she's at an age now where she needs to take some responsibility for the way in which our country's heading, and I chose to vote for the environment team.
Did you?
Yeah, I voted for the environment, for the independents in my local seat of Mackellar, and everyone get out there, and I do that for my children. Okay. Because I'm concerned about where we're headed.
All right, everybody get out there. Vote early,
vote
often.
Not for small business.
Yeah. Vote
not
early.
For schools.
What about you? Have you voted yet, Tone?
Yes, I voted early and voting often.
Who did you vote?
I've been to several booths.
Who did you vote for?
I'm not saying who I voted for. It's my democratic right to vote, but it's also a democratic right to not tell anybody else who I voted for.
Yeah, but
that's my own personal private business.
But it's your choice, and you can tell us. And who did you vote for?
I'm not saying.
And can you tell us why you voted for whoever you voted for?
Because I have a personal contact, let's say, with the person for whom I voted.
What sort of contact, Tony?
Medical.
Okay.
Intimate medical contact.
Been placed.
That's all. Okay. That's all I'm saying. As I look at the Tyre Power scoreboard, gee, there's been some games already. A terrific game of footy last night. The Broncos over the Roosters, 15-10. One of the best games of the season. We're going to speak to Anthony Seibold a little bit later on. He'll be a very happy coach.
Yeah, Anthony Seibold. I love him. He's getting into his good form now.
I think we'll find out whether he and Del are actually good friends. Del always goes on about how they're, you know, back in the day they lived together and they were great friends, but
yeah, well,
we'll find out how close they actually were.
3 weeks ago, Del gave him a D. Was it a D?
No, when C+.
It was C+.
C+?
Yeah. Has he moved at all? Is he sort of heading north?
Yeah, but we'll talk about that later. Well, I'm going to put some heat on him. I'll put some heat on him too.
Are you a Bronco today or a Dragon?
No, I'm always a Bronco.
Okay.
Mate, you sound like Maroon. This is what Maroon does to me.
Maroon's here. I've been inspired by him.
Oh, yeah, of course he is. He's the ambassador out here at Bankstown.
And Storm 24, they got away with it, didn't they, over the Tigers 22 on Thursday night. As a look at that Tyre Power scoreboard once more. And something that is really gnashing Gerds' teeth. Warriors 30, the Panthers 10. You're an angry man. We're going to get to you in a little while. Yes, Del?
I'm not that angry.
They're actually not Gerds' teeth.
That's right.
That's some poor elephant's teeth.
Yeah.
Come on.
You did get a whole new set of teeth, didn't you, after your playing career?
Yeah. No. While. During.
Yeah.
In 1999 or 2000, yeah. Because I cracked them. I cracked the front one. So mm-hmm. when I went in, they had to replace that one and the one next to it.
How many of your own tooth do you still have?
Most of them. I only have four of someone else's.
A poor elephant.
Exactly. We're going to speak to Ian Prendergast later in the show, of course, from the Rugby League Players Association. He's the CEO about Jack DeBell and what they make of what went on there in the federal court, the dismissing of his appeal. As we said, we'll speak with Anthony Seibold. Dell and Gerds are both going to name their state of origin teams. All that and plenty more. This is Saturday Triple M NRL from Bankstown RSL. Triple M rocking the footy on a Saturday afternoon. We're doing it live from Bankstown RSL, your home ground, when the Doggies are out of town. Anthony Maroon, of course, is wandering around Bankstown RSL, just giving prizes away, which is terrific. He's given most of the prizes to anyone who's wearing South Sydney gear.
Yeah.
Very unlike Maroon, isn't it? Well, it was a bad day for Jack DeBellin yesterday afternoon and for St George Illawarra, with his appeal against the no-fault stand-down policy being dismissed in the federal court. It means he will not be eligible to play for the Dragons until his court case is heard and resolved. It's a huge moment for the NRL. Vindication, although the NRL, the figures there, they weren't exactly happy with it. They know it's not a happy day for anybody concerned. This is what Todd Greenberg had to say after the decision had been handed down.
I think it's really important, particularly from the media's perspective, that we're dealing with people's livelihoods here. My first phone call today was to the chief executive of the Dragons to ultimately ensure the player had the right support systems around him, and that will be an ongoing exercise to make sure he has the amount of support and welfare attached to him that is needed.
So we've spoken to Brian Johnson from the Dragons. I'd be interested to hear what that conversation detail was, Emma.
I'd be interested too, because... Yeah. You know, Todd Greenberg has, you know, made a big fuss about this whole time. Whilst they had to put a line in the sand and look after the reputation of the game, they were also very concerned about Jack DeBellin's welfare. Well, now is the time, more than ever, that they need to do something to ensure that he is okay. Because this whole time, they were confident, Jack and the Dragons were confident that they would be able to challenge this no-fault stand-down. So they were preparing for him to be able to possibly even play this weekend.
Yep. What can they possibly do? What can they do to a guy that's just found himself in this situation? Well, without going into the details of the case.
No, absolutely. Yeah. And expressing concern for the alleged victim as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. But, I mean, Jack now finds himself in a position where probably for the next... to maybe the rest of this year and
yeah,
possibly
and next year.
The end of
he
next
won't
year,
be playing. So how can you possibly
game?
Get yourself up? How can you be excited to go to training? How can you be in a good mental space? At least when he thought he may be able to come back to footy, there was a goal there, something to keep him focused and on track.
Yeah, look, I'm with you guys. And that's, you know, I commented early in the piece about Jack because, you know, I've been associated with the Dragons over the years and I've met Jack as an 18-year-old kid coming. I didn't know who he was. And we're training one day and Wayne used to get me to train. And this young kid put a shot on me and I said, who's that kid? And he goes, Jack DeBellin. And I've seen him once over these past couple of months, but because my son's at the Dragons, it's, let me tell you, 2 years is a long time in sport. But a couple of good things for him, I suppose, he's allowed to go to training. He still gets paid, but still the end result is, you know...
You know, he may well still get paid, Wendell, yeah. But he also now has to pay the court costs, not only for himself, but of the NRL. ARL, which is amounts to something like $300,000 for there. He's looking at close to $500,000 in court costs. This is without him even taking it any further by appeal. So the financial thing is a burden. Yep. And as Emmett quite rightly points out, to motivate yourself, now apparently a training he's been intense these past little while, thinking he is going to get back on the playing field. When you know you're not getting back on the field for 18 months... for, you know, this season and most of next, how can you motivate yourself to train?
It's going to be the people around him. Obviously, you can say what you want to say, but it's going to be so hard. I don't think I've seen anything like this. You know, I know Brett Stewart, I think it was a bit different, wasn't it, Brett Stewart? How long was he out for? I don't think I've come across anything. And this is a line in the sand now for all NRL players, I suppose, in general.
Yeah, that's exactly right. It sends a strong message to the to the rest of the players, doesn't it? But usually when you're out for that sort of period of time, it's an injury and it's usually an ACL, and it gives you something to really focus on, which is the rehab. Yeah. But to be able-bodied and fully fit and not being able to express and release that energy and those things, because that's essentially what you do when you're training through the week and you're building that intensity, when you let that out is on the weekend, and then you sort of come down on the sort of the Sunday or the Monday and then you rebuild back into the rest of the week. So how you can continually do that...
And
and maintain focus and positivity, I don't think it's possible.
And the only other thing too, I think for Jack is, you've got to be strong enough, I suppose, for him. Like, I think he was at university. I'm not sure what he was studying, whether it was human movements or something like that. So does he think about going back there now? But also, you've got to front up and think, okay, I've got to be positive and get through this.
He also has a baby that
little
they
girl,
just had
yeah,
last
girl,
month.
Yeah.
So, you know, lots of changes at the moment for him. But also, he comes off contract at the end of next year. So he may very well not have played a single game of footy by the time he comes off contract. And, yeah, up to $500,000 in legal fees, misses out on about $90,000 as well from not playing Origin this year. So he might not get another contract.
He will, I have no doubt about that. That's one thing I don't think, and I know he will certainly be concerned about that, but I think he's the type of player that after a couple of years, what will he be, 28 when he comes back in
29,
the game?
29, of that,
I still think he'll pick up a contract.
Will he be as good a player now that he hasn't played? He could have not played in 2 years.
I think he will, because remember when Russell Packer, he was out of the game for a couple of years. It took him a little while to come back. I know he had a full season reserve grade, but when I saw Jack a couple of months ago, mate, look so fit. He's I've never seen a bloke look fitter. And don't forget, also there's that wear and tear on your body. He won't have that. But, you know, hopefully, you know, he gets found.
Yeah, he'll probably.
You mentioned the line in the sand. I guess that's, if you look for a positive out of this, and let's taking Jack DeBellin out, and obviously that's all negative for him. And again, thoughts for the alleged victim. So we're taking that apart. It was kind of a retrospective idea that the NRL came up with. Now that it's in place, that's a good thing. Every NRL player now sees that policy, sees that hard line, that line in the sand that says we will not stand for poor treatment of women.
But I get that, but do you think that, you know, in this country or wherever, you're innocent until proven guilty, it's like...
Grant, absolutely.
It's like now, it's like you're guilty, but you've got to prove you're innocent. That's what it feels like.
I'm not arguing this current case. I'm just saying that as now policy for it's putting players on notice.
So in future, I think players will be a lot more conscious of when they're going out, when they're drinking and how they're behaving because they know how significant the consequences are. So there were those couple of cases, the early ones, obviously, Walker, DeBell and Tyro May, where everyone was thinking, well, is that fair? But now everyone knows the rule. So for players to now put themselves in situations where they can get in trouble, I think they're going to be a lot more conscious of that.
And look, I know that I made some mistakes from my career, but there's a guy, we all know, but Dylan Walker, like if I'm Dylan Walker, I'm just keeping my head down because I think, you know, he's been very lucky to get through there. I know he got found not guilty, but when you see that video footage...
We'd be good that we could hope that players, it doesn't take this kind of thing to make them behave well, that they're just decent human beings.
It also takes
behave well.
In a way, it also takes a lot of pressure off the integrity committee and the NRL because, therefore, they don't need to then apply any sanctions over time.
Yep.
It therefore falls into the courts. And that's another thing that the players, if they get themselves into these situations, need to be careful of. It's out of anyone's hands that are part of the game. It then falls into, obviously, you know, it becomes then a legal issue that can then take, as we're seeing with Jack, up to 2 years, and no one has control over that.
Correct. Just quickly, the ramifications for the Dragons, of course, they can appeal in terms of salary cap exemption. They could try to get like for like and employ another player. Who they're going to get, I'm not sure. But I think the number that they've got is only, what, 150?
It's 150, And to try and find someone of Jack DeBellin's calibre, I mean, that's...
It won't happen.
That's how quick it's changed. Think about this time last year, Jack DeBellin was just getting ready for Origin Series and he was one of the form players that series. And remember there's that iconic picture of him at the end with the beer?
This time last year, the Panthers were also flying high. Not so at the moment. Ryan Girdler isn't exactly happy, nor were the fans at Penrith last night as they went down to the Warriors 30 points to 10. We'll get there next. Saturday, Triple M NRL.
Triple M footy for Ream Hot Water.
Wendell Saylor, Emma Lawrence, Ryan Girdler, Tony Squires with you from Bankstown RSL this afternoon. The Doggies, of course, are out of town. They're packing on the Titans this afternoon from 3 o'clock. You'll hear it here. And if you get to Bankstown RSL, you can also watch it here. Sit alongside Wendell Saylor, get his advice as the Doggies go around this afternoon. The Panthers last night was a bit of an embarrassing defeat on the back of others. 30 points to 10. They were rolled by the Warriors. Now, the fans at Panthers were not at all happy. This was the reception the team got as they left the field as the final siren blew.
And there it is. You can't blame them, can you, Gerds?
Nah, they're paying their hard-earned, Dan.
Wow. Booing.
Wow.
Do you like the booing?
No, no one likes the booing.
No one likes it,
but
no.
Do they deserve the booing?
Well, they do it. I mean, it's as I said during the call last night, I mean, it's the fans, right? There's a lot of frustration out there at the moment. These guys pay their membership fees and turn up every week, and they've got a game there in a couple of weeks' time against Manly. And what's motivating the fans to turn up and give their money and time to the club at the moment with the answers that, with the performances we're seeing on the field?
They'd missed 22 tackles by around the 20-minute mark. It was already 12-0 by that stage, so the game had careered out of the way just after half-time. A couple of players running into each other, trying to defuse a bomb, ball spills forward. All the things that could go wrong did go wrong.
Yeah, just like, just to watch that Penrith squad and just the way they're playing, it's like, one, they didn't have a pre-season, and two, it's like everyone's playing for themselves. Even like they're getting, you know, 10, 15 metres out and all of a sudden, okay, they're looking at what they have to do and then forgetting to pick up the ball. I'm not sure the young bloke, who's the lock? He knocked the ball on from dummy half.
Liam Martin.
Yeah, Liam Martin. He scored a good try too in the second half. But the energy's not there. They're not pushing up. And I think what's classical about it is when you see the back three not working together and running into each other, when you see a winger and fullback, no communication there. So that means there's no talk and there's no trust.
Against the back three for the Warriors, who are enormous. Clever with their feet and the fullback, but two big wingers who bring it back beautifully.
Yeah.
They were so good. I think another thing with the Panthers, I know players surely would never go out there not trying their hardest, but you can tell, don't you think, when players are lacking confidence or mentally they're not all there, because I think it was that last try when Ignatius Parsi went over and Viliami Kikau was just standing there.
Well,
he wasn't even helping the other two defenders at all.
Well, there was two players there, and mate, when you're on, if you have a look at the Roosters and Broncos last night, when you're on, you know that you got to do the one percenters. So the one percenter for him is pushing up, ripping in and putting that shot on. He was like sort of sitting back saying, but he was going like, oh, it's your job, but you guys have got this. He wasn't like, not that he didn't want to do contact, but you're not willing to put in the extra one percenters. And that's what the Broncos weren't doing. That's what Penrith haven't been doing this season. Against South, they tried really hard, but they've gone about three steps backwards.
Let me ask you this, Wendell, about and everyone talks about attitude and bringing attitude to the game. And you just mentioned a couple of isolated incidents there where, yeah, there was certainly poor attitude, but I just don't believe attitude is something that you can switch off and on. I believe attitude, as you said before, is the hard work that you do in the pre-season, the intensity that you train with on a weekly basis in all your sessions, and then doing little things like extras, like at the end of sessions when, you know, there's been a weakness identified in something that you're doing as part of your game, and you grab the guy next year and you do an extra half an hour at training defensively and say, no one comes through us this week.
Yep.
That's attitude. I mean, you can't just turn up to a game if the work hasn't been done and hit a switch and then all of a sudden go out there and put a performance in against a team that has done the hard work. And for mine, it just looks like at the moment that they haven't got it right in the off-season, that the work hasn't been done. They had a hard edge about them last year, Penrith, and they had a fitness about them that they would somehow find themselves, you know, 14 points or 16 points behind with about 30 minutes to go, and then they hit the gas and they blow sides away. That doesn't come through, you know, not doing the hard work in the preseason and not working hard on a weekly basis and doing all the things that make you uncomfortable at training through the week are the things that make you comfortable on a weekend when you turn up to play. And I just think from my perspective and watching the game, and I didn't see any of their preseason, I don't see how they train on a weekly basis, but they just look to me like they've lacked that part of their preparation.
They look like a mentally weak side.
Well, Ivan said afterwards they seem divided and he needs to bring them together. And constantly last year, I know that's what Brad Arthur was constantly saying, his team weren't together, the relationships weren't there, and they weren't playing for each other. And they went off in the preseason. They had this camp where it brought them together. They had to bring three items, which meant a lot to them, stand up in front of the group, explain why they were important, and the grown men, they were reduced to tears. And Brad Arthur said that was so crucial in bringing them together as a closer knit group for for this season. And it seems like there is a big difference. So maybe
can we do that at some point? Bring three items that mean something to us.
Of course, we
before
can.
The end of this season. I love that idea.
What would you have, Del?
Let's do it by next week.
Do it by next week.
Yeah. We won't say it at the moment on air, but we'll do that.
Bring three items that mean something to us that reveals something about us.
Three things that are really important to you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
You're going to bring Dobby, Del? The dog?
I'd love to. I bet
you would.
Yeah.
You mentioned the coaching and style. Ivan Cleary, obviously, again, they're all eyes on him in the post-game media conference. This is just a little bit of what he had to say.
The crucial thing right now is that we actually come together as a team, because right now we're not, and that's being shown on the field. Confidence is rock bottom. That was obvious tonight.
Confidence is rock bottom.
Look, I watched that as a fan. I watched that press conference this morning as I was coming in, and I watched that because I'm a fan at heart, and I want to see what the solutions are, what the problems that have been identified are, and I want to know what our leader, which at this case is Ivan Cleary, is going to do about fixing those problems. Generally, when you're the highest paid employee of an organisation, you know, when there's the blame falls, it sits with you.
You're the mentor, yeah.
And at the moment, it's going to sit with Ivan, and he's obviously aware of that. And from a fans and members' perspective, when you're in a time like we are at the moment, we need something Churchillian, Tony. We need someone to walk in there and say, you know, with some detail and with some conviction, this is the problem. Even if, like, and he's got to know. He's got to know. Like, and to the detail, I mean, the fans and members, they need to be shown enough respect that we're given detail in relation to how he's going to fix it and what he's going to do, because we can all see the problems there, but it's not our job to fix them. So I want to know in certain parts of the game why Isaac Luke just picked up the football from a metre out the line to score their first try. How do we fix that? Like, I want a coach that tells us about, you know, breaks down the game strategically and tactically, and then tells us how he's going to fix, because we speak about attitude and it's really easy to say bring the group and that together, but just tell us what the plan is and convince us, because this is another part of his job, why we're going to spend money to come and watch the game in 2 weeks' time when you play Manly on a Thursday night.
It's interesting, isn't it, to watch his approach, and I don't know what goes on behind closed doors there. We've seen during this season coaches like Michael Maguire give an absolute spray. We've seen Craig Bellamy being quite ruthless about how he's described his team. We've only lost two games all year. In the AFL, we've seen Alistair Clarkson drop Jared Roughhead and talk about the same thing, and these teams respond. We've yet to see Ivan Cleary actually look angry about or seem to deliver a strong message. He could well be doing that behind closed doors.
Yeah, I mean, that's a fair point, because he's just got the same mannerisms, you know, the whole time. But even, like, I think, you know, Gert said to me a few months ago when we were talking about James Tarmia being captain, he's got a hard enough job as it is. Some players, you just want him to play. And so James Maloney, I know he's trying hard. Nathan Cleary looks a shadow of himself, but that comes back to Ivan Cleary. When I'm watching him like Gert's, I'm going, give us something. Like, don't just give us, like, mate, your players are watching and the fans want to know what you're going to do to fix this. You need something. He's not given too much and they're not improving. In the last couple of years, when you watch Penrith, you just think, I can't wait to watch Fisher-Harris play, ripping through the middle. It's so, mate, teams are rolling through the middle. And I don't care, you can have the best backs in the world. Okay, I know they're not playing well. Wonga Blake looks a shadow of himself. But through that middle third, they're just so passive in their defence, and there's always a player on the ground. They're not even winning, you know, that ruck, because there's still a player lying around. And then, you know, Isaac Luke was scooting out last night. Some of those tries, they were so soft from the Warriors.
But even when you see teams getting flogged, you usually see the coaches come out and say, this is what we did wrong. But personally, I haven't seen a press conference where a coach says, I just don't know what we're doing wrong. And he just seemed to have no answers. And I mentioned it off air. I, in a sense, felt sorry for him last night when he was having to front the media. And I know it's part of his job and the responsibilities on him. He's the head coach. But he seems so vulnerable, like he well and truly doesn't know how to fix it.
And that's the concern. If you don't know what the problem is, how do you find a solution?
Yeah.
And that's what the fans and the players, and I can only think to this, if that's what Ivan's giving the fans and the members at the media, at the press conferences, because that's who he's addressing there. He's not addressing the journalists. He's addressing his members and his fans. what's he giving the players?
Yes, 100%.
30 to 10, the Tyre Power scoreboard. That was the scoreboard. The Warriors, too good for the Panthers. The Broncos got over the top of the Roosters. A terrific game of football, 15 points to 10. Another coach who was under fire earlier is Anthony Seibold. We'll have a look at that game and speak to him in the next half hour on Saturday Triple M NRL. Just rocking the footy on a Saturday afternoon, as we love to do, and we also love to watch great games of rugby league. There certainly was one of those played last night at Suncorp Stadium, where the Broncos were too good for the Roosters, 15 points to 10, in a classic game of rugby league. And a happy man will be the Broncos coach, Anthony Seibold, who joins us right now. G'day, mate. Congratulations.
Yeah, thanks, Danny. Thanks for having us.
Absolute pleasure, and it must have been a pleasure for you to watch some big young forwards just rampaging around last night.
Yeah, I thought our middle forwards were really good. Matt Lodge and Payne Haas, two of the Penn guys, started the game really strongly, and I thought they probably made a statement, I suppose, with some of their actions early in the game.
Hey, Seibs, you're on good. Mate, congratulations. I think one of the best games of the year from a viewer's perspective. Did you see that one coming? Did you see that sort of performance sort of coming around the corner, three from your last four and sort of building nicely?
Yeah, I did, to be fair. We've been really good at home this year, but we've had some challenges when we've played away games, so that's the next the next thing we need to make sure that we're better with. But felt as though we're building towards a really strong performance against one of the better teams, and really had a tough draw to start the year. We've played the top seven teams in the competition, and we've now played the Roosters twice, so we've got a really good idea of where we're at and where we need to improve. So we felt as though we could put a performance together like that last night.
What a great experience for young Dearden as well, and Turpin as well. I know you've had some experience in the past of coaching him, and you kind of knew what to expect. For people who haven't seen these guys play, the subtlety about the way they go about their work in such an intense contest last night must have really impressed you.
Yeah, it really did, Gerds. Tom was playing his third game, and Jakey Turpin was playing his fourth game. So, two key positions there in and around their spine. But, got complete faith in both those guys. I gave Tom an opportunity a couple of weeks ago because I believe in him, and Jakey Turpin's a real tough competitor, and I think the last 2 weeks he's brought a lot of energy to the number 9 jersey, and really happy with how he's gone.
Hey Anthony, it's Emma Lawrence. Congratulations. I want to ask you about James Seguiaro. Obviously scored the winning try, and no surprise he likes that quick scoop from dummy half, but can you tell me about the impact he's had on the group around training? Because every club he goes to, he seems to be the life of the group.
Yeah, and he's got a lot of energy about him. One of the reasons why I thought he'd be good to bring in at this sort of stage of the year. We lost Cody Nikorima, so we had to replace Cody in our top 30. And myself and Peter Nolan had a bit of a look around the competition for players who thought may add something to us. And as soon as Chico's name came across our table, we sort of both jumped at the opportunity to make contact with him and his manager and see where he was positioned down there at the Sharks. And he jumped at the opportunity. He's a lifelong, he was a Broncos supporter when he was a kid, so he was really keen to come up here and put the Broncos jersey on, and he's had a lot of energy in the group. He's a real character, so I'm sure you guys all know.
Hey, Seibs, it's Wendell Sale here, mate.
Hey, mate, how you going?
Good, buddy. Hey, mate, there was two passions of play by your young blokes that I loved. Dearden, I think, in that down that right-hand side, he floats across, throws the ball to Matt Gillett, who was untouched. He drops it. And then also Shibazaki. James Tedesco is floating down there. He's faked to go out and then jam back in. That's confident when you've got Latrell Mitchell there, Tedesco inside. So you picking him in the centres, you had the confidence for him to do the job. So that's pretty big play by two young blokes.
Yeah, definitely. Gambit, he's got real potential. He's been with the Broncos since he was 16. He's a Townsville kid, actually. And like Jake Turpin, I had Gambit in Queensland under-18 side a couple of years ago. Would have been about 2015. And he was only 17 then, and he was a year young. And he was outstanding then, and I've sort of tracked his career since that period of time. So when I come to the club, I was really excited about coaching him. He's really big on the effort areas of our game, and I thought he did a really good job defensively because, Kiri and Tedesco and Latrell Mitchell asked a lot of questions, and I thought both those guys held their end up with their defensive actions.
Siebs, your captain, Darius Boyd, has copped a lot of flack over the early games this season. In fact, a lot of players have copped a fair bit of flack. But he stood up at the part of the past couple of weeks, showing a great deal of desire. Have you liked what you've seen?
Yeah, Darius has been really good, particularly the last 2 weeks. I think, for whatever reason, Darius seems, an easy target for some people in our game to criticise. But the thing I've noticed about Darius since I've been working with him is, he's a really good professional. He turns up ready to work each and every training session. I can see why he's had so much success during his career. So, he understood that he had to improve some areas of his game, but there were some areas that he was doing pretty well. We just didn't get a chance to see it too much. And I think the last 2 weeks we had a lot more possession. And when you have a lot more possession, Darius comes into the game a bit more. And I think he's added some really good things in and around our attack.
In terms of that, what people, the outside noise that often people talk about in this game, have you enjoyed the goldfish bowl that is Brisbane and has been since you've arrived there?
Yeah, it's been, it's obviously been pretty, we're in the media a lot up here in Brisbane, being the only team in town. It's probably been a bit of a difference from the Rabbitohs, but the Rabbitohs are a really big club, and we had a lot of media attention down there, but I suppose it's a little bit different. One thing I've probably noticed a bit more is there's a lot more past players and people within the media have opinions in and around our club. But I think I've got a pretty good perspective on things. At the end of the day, I'm doing the best I can. At the end of the day, the players are trying the best they can. Sometimes we get the job done, and other times we don't, but I don't sort of sulk about it. I get on with the job, and I love coaching. That's the reason why I'm up here.
Anthony Dill always goes on about how great mates you are and you used to live together back in the day. Can you give us a bit of an insight? What was Wendell Saylor like as a roommate?
He was really good, Emma, actually. Drive us around when we were young blokes. He never actually used to drink or anything like that. So when we were 18, 19, 20 years of age, he was sort of a bit of a, I won't call him our chauffeur, but he used to drive us around from place to place. And, he was really good to live with. Obviously, he's very energetic himself. He's not unlike Chico, actually. He's got great personality. So it was really good fun to live with him back then. I'm probably glad I'm not living with you now, Wendell, with all due respect.
But, if I was living with you now, I would have failed at life, mate. Exactly. As you know, Tara needs a medical. Seems was he was in my wedding party, so and he's the godfather of my daughter. But Seems, I've got to ask you, you talk about the ex-players at the Broncos. When you were like at South and there was that talk about you sort of coming to the Broncos, there was a lot of ex-players saying that Kevy should have had that role, and I remember speaking to you about it. And at that time, you yourself said that... mate, you thought Kevy deserved the job at that time, but it was out of your hands, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah, Wendell, mate, you know how much I respect Kevy. So, he gave me a great opportunity to work with the Origin side there for a couple of years, and I worked with Kevy at Melbourne. I knew him when I was a young kid at the Broncos as well, so I've got that much respect for Kevy. So, mate, I understand that, Kevy's a legendary figure in our club, and I really respect that, and I also respect that some of his ex-teammates are really loyal to Kevy, and I think that's a good thing and a positive thing. I don't look at it as a negative, and I certainly don't see it as a criticism on me, because those guys don't know me that well, and they certainly don't know me as a coach. So, I don't take that personally. I just see a lot of the guys sticking up for a real good mate who's a great guy.
And just quickly to finish, if 19-year-old Payne Haas, his name is called out as New South Wales Blue, will he handle it?
Oh, Tony, I've got no doubt he will. Again, that's obviously Freddie's decision, and I certainly don't want to become one of those coaches that make commentary in and around selections of other teams. But I just know that whatever Payne is asked to do, he can do. He missed the start of our season, the first four rounds, and I think everyone's seen how much of an impact he's made on our team since he's come back. I've got great faith in him, and that's why I started him when he came back. The easy thing would have been to bring through Queensland Cup or put him on our interchange bench, but I just knew the tough decision and the right decision was to start it, because I saw how good he had been training and what he could bring to our team.
Mate, he's 165 metres and 35 tackles a game. What a weapon.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Anthony Seibold, it was lovely to see a smile on your face. Great win. Congratulations, Matt.
Good on you, mate.
Good on you, guys. Thanks for chatting with us.
I tipped you last night too, mate. Well done.
Oh, good man. Thank you.
No, you didn't, you liar.
There he is, Anthony Seibold, coach of the Broncos. 15-10 winners over the Roosters. This is Saturday Triple M NRL.
For McDonald's, Triple M footy.
Yeah, Saturday Triple M NRL doing it from Bankstown RSL, your home ground. When the doggies are out of town, Wendell Saylor has been out and about just walking among the people, as he likes to do, getting the occasional selfie. The people haven't requested that Wendell has, and I think it's a lovely thing about Wendell.
Can I quote Wendell? So
yes, quote him.
Anthony Maroon is the ambassador here, and Dell just said, I should be the ambassador.
Yeah, people love me. Everywhere I go.
Yeah.
Even though I'm a Queenslander, I know Maroon's very good. Like, the MC stuff, he's great.
You can only be the ambassador out here, Del, if you're willing to take cash.
Maroon's not happy. Look at his face.
Oh, he's
filthy.
Yeah. I do stuff for the love of it.
Everything Maroon does is for cash.
Yeah.
When you say people love you, is that just, that universal? Oh, here comes...
he doesn't want me to whine any.
Okay.
No, he does a great job, Anthony Maroon. We work a lot together, and it's just really... But you know, he had a spring in his step this morning. Come and he goes... Mate, I love the fact the Broncos won. And then Anthony Seibold, I knew he'd bounce back. That's what he said to me.
Yeah.
Of course he does.
You enjoyed that interview too, didn't you, with Seibs?
Yeah.
He was up and about.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, you're so well-loved, and you love the fact that the Broncos got up. It was a good game of footy, though, Gerds, last night, wasn't it?
It was... I mean, the intent from both sides early was evident.
It was finals atmosphere, wasn't it?
It really was. It was the best game I've seen all year. And I think that's why everyone was so disappointed in the way that the Broncos started the season, because... at the end of last year and sort of going into the preseason, that's the sort of style of game that we saw that we wanted the Broncos to be involved in this year, and they usually come at the back end of the season. But the fact that they were both able to get to that intensity so early in the season was phenomenal. Both the key players from both sides were just outstanding. Latrell was probably just a little bit quiet by his own standards.
No, he was off. I reckon he was off. He dropped the ball two or three times last night, which you'd expect. It looked like he had something on his mind the last couple of weeks. I'm not sure what it's been.
You think it might be his contract?
Maybe. I think so. Maybe. It depends what's happening behind the scenes. But he hasn't been the same the last couple of weeks.
But he did
get injured last week, too.
He snapped at the end, too, when Seguiaro threw the ball at him. I know sometimes they can mouth off, but he unnecessarily fired up, too, which suggests maybe, you know, there's a bit of noise there.
You've got to give the credit to the Roosters, though, as well. I know they didn't get the 2 points, but I think they only had 41% of the football and they had some injuries all the way through it without making any excuses.
Yeah.
But and they held the Broncos all the way to the death and almost found a way. And
well, probably
I don't know,
did find
been,
a way.
I don't think enough's been said about that Darius Boyd incident.
Oh, I agree.
At the end
Darius
of the game.
Shot out, okay, and we all know that.
Yeah.
He made a defensive decision to go into Jared Laurie Hargreaves.
He sprinted out of the line.
Yeah.
And the fact that should, at least because it looked like they were through and they were potentially going to score because the fullback was already up in the line, not his bum.
Yep.
And Latrell gets a bit of space on the left-hand side. He'd been quiet. You'd think this is that time because he was waiting for Latrell to do something very special. But that right-hand defence, they handled themselves really well last night. Even Deedon. You know, they always talk about young halfbacks not being able to tackle. I know Joey was getting excited on the coverage last night. But Deedon, I know his skill set's great. I know Gerd's talked about it. His kicking game for an 18-year-old. But defensively, he tackled Latrell Mitchell. Latrell Mitchell wound up in the left-hand corner. He came back and someone hit him one-on-one. And I looked at it. It was Deedon. And he just, when he gets interviewed, he just looks like he's happy to be there. He's not a big head.
As did his schoolmates who were in the crowd as well.
That was so good. There was one where he and Turpin, Luke Keary was trying to get back into the field of play and they both just whacked him, pushed him back. They got a repeat set. And they just didn't care. They just had more desire, more hunger. And keep in mind, seven of their players, of the Broncos players, were 20 or under. So they're babies.
Yeah.
Did such a good job.
You talked about Payne Haas.
Yep.
And I agree. Look, I'm a Queenslander. I hope Free doesn't pick him. I don't need to try and pick your team because you've got so many good players. But, like, the young kid, like, 220 metres, made 30 tackles last night, and he just took it to, you know, Jared Weary-Hargreaves. I know Weary-Hargreaves got him in the head high one time because he turned his back on him, and I love it. He just didn't take a backward step.
But you don't want Freddie to pick him because you don't want Queensland to have to face him, or you don't think he's ready?
Yeah, no, I think he's ready, mate. Look, he's that sort of kid that you throw in there and... the bigger the occasion, the better he will go.
More important, we'll find out whether Ryan Girdler has picked him when he names his New South Wales side in about half an hour. You're also going to name your Queensland side, Wendell Slater.
We're going to struggle this year.
Of course you are.
What's interesting too, Payne is doing Ramadan, so and if he does get selected, it will finish the day before Origin 1.
Is that right?
Yeah. So
that basically means that he can't eat in daylight hours.
No, he can't eat or drink. So the Broncos have slightly adjusted his training schedule, but, I mean, how much can you adjust it coming into Blues camp for the first time as well? Do you get special privileges there as well?
The bonding session, if they have it the daytime, pretty boring, isn't it?
Because, you know, when the big dog's got to eat, the big dog's got to eat.
We'll come back and play a bit of 3 and 5 next. Saturday Triple M NRL from Bankstown RSL. Of course, that is your home ground when the Doggies are out of town. If you're nearby, just drop in. Obviously, the game, the Titans and the Doggies on the big screen from 3 o'clock. Get down and have a bit of a chat. Wendell Saylor is getting photographs with all and sundry. Emma Lawrence is here, Ryan Girdler. My name is Tony Squires. Girds, you were signing some photographs. Some of
those old ones, aren't they?
Playing footy.
Yeah.
There was one, was that a Super League?
Super League one. So 97, Dell would have been in that side as well. Yeah, I'm not sure where that one would have been taken.
The Super League Australian team that was.
I played, I played outside you a couple of times. Yeah. So good to play outside, Girds.
Do you, have you kept any of that kind of stuff? Have you got a Super League jersey?
I have got a couple of Super League jerseys at home. Yeah, I've got a New South Wales one and an Australian one that I kept because I thought that at some point they would be interesting.
Yeah.
And I went through some of the jerseys the other day. I got a couple of early Steelers ones as well, which
are
really cool.
Ah, nice.
So I've got some really good keepsakes there. My girls will never wear them though.
Oh, pajamas.
Well, maybe.
Have you got your stuff kept? Is it on walls, Wendell?
No. You know what? When I was in Brisbane and going through that, I used to have like a bit of a pool room, and obviously there was jerseys and stuff, grand final jerseys, but then obviously, Tara took over and then they came down pretty quick and they were in storage. But it's funny, there's All Blacks jerseys there, England jerseys. But I think I've got John's, Lockyer, Tallis. I've got one of Gerds's too. We spoke at this. So when he scored whatever 34 or 36 points against us, for some reason, because we're really good mates and we roomed a fair bit, I said, well, do you want to swap at some stage through the series? And he swapped me the jersey from that game. There was two jerseys, wasn't there? There was a first and second half.
The record point scoring.
That one.
Oh. That'd be worth a bit.
So, but it's in storage. So, yeah.
He offered it back to me one day. I said, but he hasn't brought it
in. No, but I'm going to.
You keep it.
Sure?
I've got one, yeah.
Okay. You keep it. I've got my Stockton fifth grade jersey, but no, let's not go into that. My kind of memorabilia. Yeah. Next hour, we are going to chat with Ian Prendergast. He's, of course, the CEO of the Rugby League Players Association about the Jack DeBellin situation. Sterlo is going to join us, of course, before 3 o'clock as well, as is former Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull. See what he's doing on this election day.
I've never met Malcolm Turnbull. I've met John Howard. I've met plenty of Prime Ministers. But actually,
did you meet the great Bob Hawke, who we lost during the week?
Actually, yes, I did. And you know when you sort of see somebody that you think you got to try and find a way to talk to him? Yep. Well, he was with Jack Newton at the Celebrity Classic. I think he was their number one patron. And so I've spoken to him a couple of times, and he's got such a charismatic personality. So I saddled up and...
That's two charismatic personalities just rubbing up against each other. How was it?
And I was there too. It was great. Jack and him, and you could just tell their friendship and their camaraderie, but I was in awe of him. And I tell you what, he doesn't want the beers away too, just quite.
What about you, Tane? Did you ever bump into the great man?
I did bump into the great man. And I, in fact, spoke to him once at a pre-game function. And I was obviously very much in awe. And I just started asking him ridiculous political question. And he said, you're being incredibly boring, just let me tell a joke. which is absolutely sound advice. Yeah. And the joke, I tell you, it was
good. Can you repeat it?
Make a sailor blush. I can't repeat it. Once we're off air, I will tell you the Bob Hawke joke. It is a doozy.
You couldn't tell if I blushed or not, so yeah.
Exactly. Come down to Bankstown RSL and listen. This is Saturday Triple M NRL.